Okay, it's time for a message from God's Word. If you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 20 through 27 this morning. We are working our way through the book of Daniel together. We are currently in a section that records Daniel's prayer to God during the first year of Darius's reign over the Babylonians. Don't worry about that. That's just when it takes place. And then God's response to that prayer. Last time we saw how Daniel prayed to God about the 70 years for Babylon. Remember that last week? The 70 years for Babylon, recorded by the prophet Jeremiah. Now, as we come to this week's passage, God responds to Daniel's prayer by telling him not about the 70 years, but about the 77s. 77s that are decreed for Israel. Today's passage is a key passage of prophecy, and yet it presents many challenges in interpretation. Most agree that the 77s, okay, refers to 77-year periods. 77-year periods. Can we put that slide up there? People can follow along for that. You skip that one. We're just jumping ahead. Sorry about that. There we go. 77-year periods, or total time of about 490 years. These 7-year periods are also sometimes referred to as weeks. You know, so you sometimes have 77s or 70 weeks. Daniel had just been reading about the 70 years. Those are almost over. Now Daniel learns from God that his people still will face 70 more sevens of years to come. It's a little challenging at first. Now, interpreters differ over the nature and timing of these 490 years. Is it meant to be an exact period of time? Some would say yes. Is it approximate? Similar to how many interpret the 70 years of Jeremiah, or is that also exact? Is it meant to be symbolic? Symbolic of a full and complete period of time. We have examples of that in Scripture. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter? Forgive your brother not seven, but 77 times. He didn't mean count to 77 and stop. It was a symbol. He used that number symbolically of a full and complete forgiveness. Also very interesting, this period of 490 years has parallels to the year of Jubilee in Scripture, if you've ever heard of the year of Jubilee. We read about that in the book of Leviticus. Count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7. Doesn't this sound familiar? 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And this year of jubilee and liberation came after 7 times 7 years. Daniel chapter 9 now looks at a period of 70 times 7 years, after which God's people will be liberated. Jubilee. You know, Jesus himself related his coming to the year of Jubilee. When he began his public ministry, he quoted from another Old Testament passage, the book of Isaiah chapter 61, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So notice he said freedom, liberation, and the year of the Lord's favor. That is a direct reference to the year of Jubilee. So a whole lot going on here, and we haven't even jumped into the passage yet. God sends this message to Daniel to let him know that although the 70 years for Babylon are completed, that means the exiles will soon go home, Israel still has a long road ahead of them before God comes and makes all things right. That's really what this passage is about. So let's dig in now. Let's look at this amazing prophecy together. There's an outline in your worship guide. I always encourage you to take it out. Today would be a really good one to take it out. This is a challenging passage of Scripture. It will help you to follow along on the various parts of this prophecy. Here we go. So the passage begins with visit from Gabriel. Gabriel comes in response to Daniel's prayer. Look at verses 20 through 21 now. Daniel tells us, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. We learned last week Daniel had been praying for what? For the exiles to go home. And he was praying that after reading from Jeremiah about the 70 years from Babylon, those had now come to an end. Daniel sums up his request here as praying to the Lord for his holy hill. That's a reference to Jerusalem. Daniel is praying for the restoration of God's people to the holy city. While Daniel is still praying, Gabriel comes to him. When? About the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, there haven't been any evening sacrifices for about 50 years, right? Ever since the temple had been destroyed 50 years earlier. Daniel, he's been in Babylon now for 70 years. He's still observing prayer every day at the time of the evening sacrifice. Faith and confidence that God is going to bring them home. And even though Daniel had been praying for some time, we saw it was a pretty long prayer last week, the answer had been given much sooner. Look at verses 22 to 23. He, Gabriel, instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. Gabriel states the purpose of his visit. Daniel, I came to give you insight and understanding. He says, as soon as you started praying, I mean, as soon as you opened your mouth, the answer was already given, right? Gabriel's now just come to bring that answer to him. God sent Gabriel to bring the answer. Notice God's love for Daniel expressed here. Daniel is highly esteemed, which means he is dearly loved. God loved Daniel's heart in prayer. He loved his humble confession, his adherence to God's ways, his clinging to God's promises. Notice how God also answers Daniel's specific petitions. What did we see last week? Daniel prayed three things. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. Daniel prayed for God to listen. Guess what? God heard. He prayed for God to forgive, and God dearly loved him despite his sins and the sins of his people. He prayed for God to act and not delay, and God immediately sent Gabriel. As soon as Daniel began to pray, God gave the answer, and now Gabriel's come to deliver that answer to Daniel. Interestingly, although Daniel's been praying about the 70 years, the answer goes well beyond that. And Gabriel tells Daniel about these 77s we've been talking about. And first he gives Daniel a very broad outline before he's going to go into greater detail. Look at verse 24. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel has been praying for his people. He's been praying for the holy city. And now Gabriel's going to give him a very broad outline of what the future holds for them. Six things will be accomplished during these 77s. These years have been appointed to, and we'll just list them out again. Finish transgression, put an end to sin, atone for wickedness, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy. And the most holy here could either refer to the most holy one, which would be Jesus, the Messiah, or the most holy place, which would signify the new Jerusalem. And as you look at the list, these items, they're not chronological. I mean, some refer to Christ's earthly ministry, some refer to the end of time. And this tells us that the 77 stretches all the way through the time of Christ's coming, but then beyond to the time of the end as well, to the time of Christ's return. That's just a broad outline. Okay, now we're going to dial in even deeper as we get further specifics about these 77s. And so first Gabriel addresses the first 69 of these sevens, verse 25. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets in a trench, but in times of trouble. Here, Gabriel gives Daniel three main details about this period of time. It's going to cover from the decree, whatever this decree is, we'll look at that in a moment, to the coming of the anointed one. It's going to be split into two areas. Remember, this is just the first 69 sevens. We're going to get to the 70th one later. So you'll have 62, seven sevens and then 62. 7 plus 62, 69. And it's described as a time of trouble. This first period stretches from the decree to restore Jerusalem to the coming of the anointed one. That raises the question, what is this decree? When is this decree? A couple possibilities. The two most likely are either the decree of Cyrus, that took place about 537 BC for the people to go home, or, and this is the one I lean towards, the decree of Artaxerxes. That took place later after they were in the land, the year 457 BC. We'll come back to that one. Period split into two periods. You've got seven sevens and then 62 sevens. So that first seven sevens, that refers to a shorter period of time, perhaps the initial rebuilding, while the 62-7 refers to a longer period of time, stretching all the way to the time of Christ. And then it says Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. That word trench can also mean canal. This likely refers to the water tunnels that were built in Jerusalem during this time period. And you take these, the 69 times 7 years, and yeah, these were troubled times for Jerusalem. They faced opposition both in the building of the temple and the city walls. They were later occupied by Greece, devastated under Antiochus Epiphanes. We've been learning about him. And then eventually conquered by Rome. So we've got these 69 times 7, 483 years. How do you figure those? Well, I think the numbers work best, once again, if you take the decree of Artaxerxes, which you find in Ezra chapter 7. This was a decree to finish rebuilding the temple. It's a decree which later allowed the rebuilding of the city walls under Nehemiah. Artaxerxes issued this decree around 458, 457 BC. Add 483 years to that, and you're at 30 AD, right around the time Jesus begins his public ministry. He said it would take place, Daniel, from now until the coming of the anointed one. If this is the correct interpretation, that makes this an amazing prophecy of scripture that foretold the coming of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry right down to the very year. Next, Gabriel tells Daniel what's going to happen after the 69 sevens are completed. Verse 26, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one, remember he was going to come right after that as well, the anointed one will now be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end and desolations have been decreed. So now he gives Daniel three main details about this time period as well. Three things will happen after the 69 sevens, or those 483 years, are completed. Number one, the anointed one will be cut off. This phrase, the anointed one, same word that means Messiah. Same word for Messiah. This would be a reference to the crucifixion of Jesus. The anointed one cut off, which, as we've already seen, took place when? Right after the 69 sevens, or the 483 years, were completed. Secondly, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. This is a clear reference now to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, which took place when? After the 69 sevens were completed. A little bit after, another 40 years or so, but after the 69 sevens were completed. The people here would refer to the Roman army, which first besieged and then destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. The ruler who will come could refer either to Titus, if it's talking about this time period. Titus was the Roman general and a later emperor who led the armies against Jerusalem. Or it could be another reference to, remember this guy, the little horn that we saw back in Daniel chapter 7, whom we identified as the future Antichrist. If it refers to him, jumping way ahead after the 69 sevens, in that case, that Antichrist is still tied to the Roman Empire in some way. And that makes sense because we saw that all of the images in these visions about the Roman Empire seem to go way beyond just the specific empire and describe the continued opposition to God and to his people that was displayed throughout history. Thirdly, Gabriel says there are going to be wars and desolations until the end. Jesus spoke about these desolations in the Gospel of Luke when he told his disciples, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by the armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Jesus' words refer to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, but then Jesus goes beyond that because he tells his disciples about, you've heard the phrases, wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. Jesus said, all these are just the beginning of birth pains. So you got three things that happen after the 69 sevens are completed. The anointed one will be cut off. That's the crucifixion of Christ. The city and the sanctuary will be destroyed. AD 70, destruction of Jerusalem. There will be wars and desolation until the end. Numbers 1 and 2 have already taken place. We are still living through the events described in number 3. Okay, finally, how y'all doing? Take a deep breath. Let it out. Should we do it 7 times? No, you can if you want. I'm just going to keep preaching, okay? Finally, Gabriel tells us about the final seven. The final seven, verse 27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. This final seven, we also sometimes call it Daniel's 70th week. This is the one everybody struggles with, okay? This is the most controversial of them all. And once again, there are 3 main views as to what this final seven refers to. Here are the 3 main views. The first view sees the final seven as immediately following the first 69. In this case, you've got your 69 weeks, and now you've got the next 7 years, and that would encompass Christ's death and resurrection, which then sets the last days in motion. That's your first view. The second view sees it as symbolic of all of the last days, starting from Christ's death and resurrection until he returns. And then the third view, sometimes called the gap view, a lot of you are familiar with this one, sees this final seven as a literal 7-year period, but in the future. There's a gap. You've got your 69 seven periods of years. You've got a long period of time. That's the gap. And then the 7-year period in the future, the 7-year period of tribulation or the great tribulation. Whichever of those views you may hold to this morning, 3 things happen. In this final week, this final 7-year period, they all have to do with the ruler who will come. 3 things. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. Number 2, in the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. Number 3, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Now, some people, this is not a view I hold to, but I just want to put it out there because some people hold it. If you hold to it, more power to you. We can discuss later. Some people view the ruler to come here as Christ. You go, wait, how does that work? The ruler to come here is Christ? Well, if it's Christ, that means the covenant that he makes is the new covenant. And then the end of sacrifice and offering would be Christ's death, which then culminated in the destruction of the temple. And then the abomination of desolation in this view would either be the death of Christ or Titus destroying the temple, prefiguring the Antichrist, who will demand false worship at the end of time. In this view, the one who makes desolate is a different person from the ruler to come. And that's why I have trouble with this view, because it seems to be talking about all one person as we go through this section. The more common view, this is the one I would hold to, is that the ruler to come is the Antichrist. It's not Jesus making a new covenant. Jesus did do that, but I don't believe that's what this passage is talking about. It's the Antichrist who makes a false covenant with God's people. The end of sacrifice and offering is the breaking of that covenant. And then the abomination of desolation is the false worship he demands for himself. Now, not to make things any more difficult and confusing, but this becomes even more difficult to interpret. We've got that phrase, the abomination of desolation. Remember, we saw that the little horn in Daniel 7, that was the Antichrist. But then we saw there was another horn in Daniel chapter 8 who would arise during the Greek Empire. That's not the Antichrist. This is the Greek Empire. This is past history. And he would also bring an end to sacrifice. So who's that? Who's the other horn in Daniel chapter 8? That was Antiochus Epiphanes, who stopped the daily sacrifices and set himself up to be worshipped. He also performed an abomination of desolation when he set up an image of Zeus in the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar. So let me see if I can help pull all this together for you. We've got the little horn in Daniel chapter 7. That's the Antichrist. We have another horn in Daniel chapter 8. That's Antiochus. And then we have the ruler to come in Daniel chapter 9, which most likely refers either to Titus, prefiguring the future Antichrist, or it is simply the future Antichrist himself. So how do you tie all these threads together? I believe the best way forward is to see what Jesus said about this. Jesus is our master interpreter. What did Jesus say about this prophecy from Daniel? Matthew 24, he said this. So, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And here Jesus does something amazing. He seems to tie together Daniel's various prophecies where Antiochus during the Greek Empire now prefigures the destruction of Jerusalem during the Roman Empire, which then prefigures the Antichrist in the final conflict that takes place at the end of time. Jesus even hints that, says, this may not be real easy to grasp. When he says, let the reader understand, he says, you're going to have to grapple with this. But no matter how you interpret it, this passage about the 77s is not only a fascinating section of scripture, but it also gives us some very important applications for our own lives today. I have all three of these written on your outline sheet as well, but let me share with you these three applications in closing. First, this entire passage should be an amazing encouragement for us to pray. It's an encouragement to pray. As soon as Daniel began to pray, the answer was given. You know, God often answers our prayers before we know the answer for ourselves. God's timing can vary. In Daniel chapter 10, next time we're going to see an example where an angel was detained for 21 days before he reached Daniel with his message. 21 days. The important thing to remember here is that while you are still praying, God is already working. And as soon as you begin praying, God has already begun answering. And that is a wonderful encouragement to pray. Second application. It's important to remember, prophecy is tricky, okay? Prophecy is tricky. Many of the Old Testament prophecies, even about Jesus' first coming, about the Messiah coming, didn't become completely clear until Jesus actually came. And then we said, oh, so that's what they were talking about. So when we get these long, detailed prophecies with all of these strange numbers and images and symbols in the Bible about the end time, we need to be careful not to be overly dogmatic as to what it all means. You'll notice even this morning, I've given you various interpretations as good Christians study God's word and try to understand all of this. You know, you say, well, why did God give us all these details then? Well, the details are important because without the details, you don't have a picture, right? But we need to focus on the big picture rather than the details. And that's actually our third application, is focus on the big picture. You know, when you're reading the book of Revelation, when you're reading Daniel, when you're reading these prophecies, so often we get hung up in the details. Focus on the big picture. So we're in Daniel chapter 9 today. What's the big picture of this 70-week prophecy here in Daniel chapter 9? Here's the big picture. Gabriel told Daniel that during the first 7 weeks, that is 49 years, remember the weeks are 7-year periods, during the first 7 weeks, God's people would return and rebuild Jerusalem. And you know what happened? They did. They did. Prophecy fulfilled. He told Daniel that during the next 62 weeks, the people of Jerusalem would experience many years of hardship. And they did. Prophecy fulfilled. In connection with the final week, Gabriel told Daniel that the Messiah would come. He would die and atone for sin. He would fulfill all prophecy, and he would bring in everlasting righteousness. Jesus came, he did that, and he will do that. Some of that is yet to be fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled again. God gave Daniel this prophecy to let him know and his people know that tough times were still ahead for God's people. Tough times were still ahead, as prefigured by Antiochus and then the destruction of Jerusalem for us. But God's enemies will finally be destroyed. Christ will be exalted. And you know what? We're right back to the initial vision in the whole book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, remember the big statue, and the rock comes down and destroyed the statue. That rock is the kingdom of God, is Christ, who will destroy the kingdoms of the world. It grew to fill the entire earth. This was an important message for Daniel. It's an important message for us. Even though the 70 years for Babylon, that's where Daniel was praying about. They're over. The exiles are going to go home. But Israel still had a long road ahead of them. And so God gave the major events of history leading up to Christ's death and resurrection and then leading up to his return. He gave this very precise outline of history as it relates to God's people. As we've just seen, Jesus began his public ministry exactly 483 years after the decree of Artaxerxes to rebuild the city. And then Jesus expanded on these prophecies to show how they relate to the rest of time until he returns. There will be trouble before triumph, but triumph is coming. So may we be prepared for trouble, but also encouraged to pray, knowing that Christ will return, Christ will conquer. And all of this, all of history is in God's hands. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for helping us through this difficult portion of Scripture. Lord, we're still going to leave scratching our heads on a lot of it and on the details, but Lord, help us to focus on the big picture. We don't have an easy time ahead. Lord Jesus, you warned us as well. There will be times of trouble and persecution until the end. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines and earthquakes. And specifically, there will be persecution for the people of God. But Lord, our hope is in you. And Lord, we know that you will bring us through whatever you may have planned for us. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. May we be encouraged in our prayer life. May we be prepared to follow you, no matter the consequences. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.